Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Mike Murphy Unfiltered Show, coming to you live today, every Thursday, noon to 2 Pacific from beautiful Palm Springs, California today. And we have a little sunshine, but it's still about 10 to 15 degrees colder than normal. You know, in the Palm Springs area, I think it's been over 100 days now where we haven't seen a temperature of 80. And that's pretty crazy. I've spent a lot of time down here over the years, and I've never seen it stay this chilly for so long. And of course, that means Los Angeles is having crazy weather. And my old home, Northern California, where my business is, my kids are, my grandkids are, they've been having crazy weather. And I know the Northeast and the Midwest, and the weather's crazy, let's face it. So something is going on. You know, we had Dane Whittington on last week with geoengineeringwatch.org. So, you know, that might have something to do with it. But I personally think that, you know, these events happen, these natural events happen periodically in Earth here, and we might be headed for one, whatever that looks like, you know. And so I think it's really important that we find our true passion, our true north, and move from our head to our heart and find out why we're here in physical body now. Why is our soul here today? Why is our spirit here today? And along those lines, we have two great guests. Our first guest this hour is a woman named Courtney Hale, and she has an Indian name, Star Heart. Courtney Star Heart Hale. And half of her family is Native American, so she's half Native American, and she came out of the East, and now she lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and she's a shaman. And so she's going to talk to us about sweat lodges, plant medicine. And she also wrote a powerful book called Urban Shaman. And we're going to talk about that. And where in that book, she talks a lot about the Mayan calendar, and the end of the Mayan calendar was December 21st, 2012. And in reading her book, I got to thinking a lot about maybe that was the beginning of a new transition from a different energy. And I believe we're going from a masculine energy to a feminine energy. And masculine energy is like domination and penetration, where feminine energy is nurturing and loving. And so I think that's what's shifting. I think it happens, you know, every 26,000 years or so. And I think we're going to that. And I think we're going to have a lot of craziness, different weather patterns, earthquakes. There's a lot of things happening with these transformers exploding. There's a lot of, you know, it's electrical universe. We're electrical beings. Everything's electricity and magnetism. And I think there's going to be a lot of those types of events. And I think it's happened before. And so I'm excited to talk to Courtney about this and go deep into that and what she found in writing this book and studying with the Hopi Indians and all these tribes in New Mexico and Arizona and what she's learned. And then our second guest in the second hour, we're going to talk to Jerry Powell of Rhythmia, which is in Costa Rica. And it's a place where they do ayahuasca, which is a medicine that comes from the jungle in Amazon. And it's bark from a tree combined with a special flower. And then they brew it for like 3 days in a huge pot in the jungle with fire underneath. And they pray over it and give it energy and bless it while they're cooking it. And then we just drink a little 2 ounces of it, and the medicine will take us on a journey that will either heal our body, our mind, our heart, and take us back to our soul. And so in reading Jerry's book last night, it's all about reemerging with our soul. You know, we all have these childhood wounds that, in his theory, that we end up leaving our soul, and we create a new identity. And so we become soulless, if you will. And it's all about getting back to our soul. And he's got a powerful story of what that took for him. Excuse me. And I know in my life that I had a similar experience. And it took a great, great deal of suffering and loss for, you know, I used to say it before I read Jerry's book last night. I used to say, you know, when my wife passed away, I was in such a state of devastation, despair, grief, that God was able to come in to my heart, fillet it open, and take out all the arrogance and the self-centeredness and the bullshit and replace it with love. And that was the beginning point of a new Mike Murphy, of a new journey, of a new destiny. and studying what Jerry had to write and say, I watched him being interviewed on YouTube. It's really about coming back to that fullness, finding that soul again, where we become whole and then we get our power back and then we can create the life of our dreams. And so I think it's going to be a great 2 hours for you guys. We're going to move this show along. Hopefully you'll be able to phone in the near future or be able to ask us questions as we have these guests. But I just want you to know that if you do have questions, you can always email me, mike@mikemurphyunfiltered.com. And we'll either email you back a response or a reply, or we'll bring it up in the next show and we'll answer these questions at the beginning of each show. And that way you can be more interactive with the show. And we, you know, the whole thing is here to serve you guys. And really it's about your show. Along those lines, I'm going to ask you, the only sponsor of this show is me and my book, The Creation Frequency. And we have an online course that we sell and that pays all the bills and allows us to bring this show to you. And also when you buy the course, we use that money to fund our nonprofit. And our nonprofit is called Love from Margo Foundation. And historically, we work with women below the poverty line while they battle cancer. And we provide emergency grants and we provide education and we provide love and we provide support. About a year ago, we transitioned to add into that. We had an empty building in Oakland. So we created Margo's Community Center. And we work with kids, you know, young adults, you know, from like 16 up to 24 or so. Kids that come out of the foster care system or have had a tough childhood or maybe come out of juvenile delinquency system. And we teach them real life skills, how to interview for a job, how to look someone in the eye, how to shake their hands, how to speak properly in a job interview, how to prepare a resume, how the banking system works, how money works. We teach them all the Apple technology skills, you know, all their products. We teach them all of that stuff. We're Apple certified learning center. We also teach them how to make music videos, how to make audio, because, you know, that's the way of the world right now is learning all this stuff. So we teach them all that. We've spent a lot of money there. And then we also teach them my course, the online course called The Creation Frequency. So this sells for $397. We have a free app on iTunes and Google Play. So if you read the book, you can get the book on Amazon. It's like $10, $11. We tell you how to get the app for free and record your intentions. And just create a more powerful life and a much better life for, you know, $397. And if you use the promo code RADIO, all capital letters, RADIO, we'll give you the course for $197. And then you just have to buy the book from Amazon. And what the course will do is it'll take you deeper into this law of attraction and the science behind it and the spirituality behind it. And it will really bring it home for you. And when you're done, you'll have your own blueprint. You can print it out. You will have written your six intentions, recorded them hopefully, and all of a sudden, the right people will show up, the right education, the right knowledge, the right everything will show up to give you what you truly need, want, and desire. And in addition to that, we will take $100 of the $197 that you pay for the course, and we will donate it in your name, and you'll get a letter from us, from the Love for Margo Foundation. $100 to that, to support that work. So the 97 goes to support this show and all the costs along with running that. 100 goes to the foundation so that we can help more women and continue to educate these kids to make the world a better place. And so that's what we have going on. That's our only sponsor right now. We hope to bring a few more sponsors on so we can continue to bring you these shows with these great guests. And once again, I'm so super excited about today's guest. Courtney Hale will be on in just when we come back from this break. And then in the second hour, this amazing guy, Jerry Powell, wrote a great book called Shit the Moon Told Me. Let me look at it real quick. Yeah, Shit the Moon Said. And just an amazing experience. This man was, you know, worth $100 million. His life sucked. He was unhappy. He was sad. He was addicted to everything. And he went and he did this plant medicine in Costa Rica, which forever changed his life and his destiny. And then he sunk a bunch of money into opening a facility called Rhythmia down there where you guys can go. I've been twice. I strongly encourage you to go down there, take the teaching, get to know the medicine, and forever change your life. I promise you, it's powerful. You know, the Bible says that, you know, God gave us everything on earth for healing. in it. And I do think this ancient medicine that they do at Rythmia, and it's the only medically licensed place in the world where you can do it. And you will have a miracle. You will have a breakthrough. 93% of the people, since they've opened, have reported a miracle. And today they're running around 97%. So I'm excited to have Brent Courtney on when we come back. And she's going to get into what she's doing in Albuquerque, New Mexico, to raise the consciousness in the world and to bring healing and love and peace and joy. So stay tuned, folks, and we'll be back in just a few moments. And welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Mike Murphy Unfiltered Show, coming to you every Thursday, noon to 2 Pacific time. And today we're in beautiful Palm Springs, California, as I mentioned when we opened the show. And so now I'm excited to bring on our first guest of the day. And her name is Courtney, spelled a little unusually, C-O-U-R-T-N-I. And she has a Native American Indian second name, Starheart, that was given to her, and her last name is Hale. And she's an author, a shaman, a teacher, an amazing painter. She's a huge lucid dreamer. And she wrote a great book called Urban Shaman, I love. And what I love about her story is, and she had just a horrendous illness that devastated her, and she survived it, and we'll get a little into that today. But some of the takeaways from reading her book last night is, you know, love is the force, but she goes there in such a strong way. And speaking the language of spirit, you know, and I just love her energy. I mean, actually, she interviewed me on her show the other day. So we just met for the first time, and I said, what a perfect guest to have on, because she does the plant medicine. And also our second hour, we're going to have Jerry Powell from Rythmia on. So it's perfect synergy today. So Courtney, first of all, welcome to the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
So let me take you back in time to, you were working for the public defender, helping translate Spanish. And I sensed that you weren't totally being fulfilled, and it took your life in another direction. What happened there?
Well, what happened was I had the dream that I could really help people, and that I could be a meaningful part of that process of, you know, defending people who didn't have enough money to hire a fancy lawyer. And I was the Spanish interpreter. And what I saw was that I was just contributing my energy to the machine. And I got depressed, and I got a lot of anxiety. And I ended up walking away from a very lucrative business. Yeah.
And what year was that?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. If my son was born in 2004, it had to have been 2002, 2003 when I walked away from it.
And is that when you headed to New Mexico, or did that take a little more time?
That took a little more time. That was after I had already gotten sick, and my son had been born. My daughter wasn't yet, so around 2005.
And at one point, your daughter, your unborn daughter, was kind of your guide there. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It sounds very strange, but as I was hovering between life and death with this E. coli poisoning, I was having these lucid dreams, and I was in touch with the spirit world, kind of like one long ayahuasca trip. And so, yeah, I met my daughter there, and she was calling me mom, which was strange because I didn't have a daughter at the time.
So you were living in a place that had bad well water. You were near a stream that you bathed in that had E. coli, and you ended up getting E. coli poisoning, but not knowing that for a while. Is that correct?
Correct. We had a hand-dug well in a 200-year-old colonial home, beautiful place on the river in the mountains outside of New York City. And the water was contaminated because of bad farming practices, and it seeped into our well.
Wow. So at first you're just feeling bad and getting sick, and getting sicker and sicker. And what was going on in your mind at that point?
Well, I mean, of course I went to a shrink because I thought I was losing my mind. So that was step one, like, you know, what's going on here? Because I kept slipping in and out of this reality.
Hmm. And it was at that point where the lucid dreaming started? Or was that something from childhood, or when did that begin?
I've always had lucid dreams. My grandmother was a full-blood Native American, and she always told me that we came from a long line of shaman. And of course, I didn't know what that meant, and probably neither did she. You know, the fireside stories that your folks tell you, right? So I've always had lucid dreams, but in this case, I was, you know, slipping back and forth in between the spirit world, you know, death and life.
At what point did you start getting better? At what point did you figure out what was going on, start getting better, and then say, hey, I'm out of here. I'm going to New Mexico.
I was down to like, you know, 85 pounds or so. Jeez. And I'm healthy at 140. So I looked like I'd been to a Holocaust camp.
Wow.
And I was, you know, peeing blood and vomiting blood. And, you know, it had these head infections in the brain, and nobody could track what was going on, because in the United States, we don't get much bad well water. Mm. And I had a wonderful Kung Fu master who was from China. And what happened was I took the leap of faith, because I had lived for 4 years like this, and I was done, you know. And I went to a Sundance. So myself, I'm a ghost dancer, and I couldn't find a ghost dance. And I said, okay, I'm going to go to a Sundance. Well, they take me into the arbor, into the Hochika. They have me pray to the tree, and they put me in there, and they carried me on a gurney and put me into the
Now, where was this? Was this in New York?
This was in West Virginia. American Horse family has a Sundance out there. They did. So I sat in that sweat lodge until everybody else was laying down. I think there was 70 some stones they brought in.
Whoa.
I guess it must have cooked the E. coli, you know, and I lived, but the E. coli died. So I actually walked out of there. And at the same moment in time, my Kung Fu master had a vision that I had tainted water. And he and his wife went over and they tested the well water. And it was so bad that it was actually green.
Hmm. Holy mackerel. So folks, Courtney just said something very, very important there that I think we tend to disregard in today's materialistic world and the world of TV and movies and all this. Her Kung Fu master had a vision that identified what the problem was. And we need to start trusting our gut, and we need to get really healthy physically, mentally, emotionally, and open our pineal gland so we can see beyond the physical. And we need to heal our gut, which most of it's full of glyphosate, which killed all the good bacteria. So we need to take care of that, because we need to trust our gut instinct. Whatever's happening in today's world, I predict is going to get worse before it gets better. And then it's going to get a lot better. But there's going to be some gnashing of the teeth, if you will. And if we're not strong and healthy and operating on all the whole system, the energetic system, and really be strong physically, mentally, and emotionally, but when we get in that state, then we can really make miracles in our life and serve other people like someone did for you. Okay, so now you found the problem. Was it easy to solve once you identify, well, this is what making me sick? Or
oh, there was no solving it, really.
Just took care of itself.
I had to leave the house.
Awesome.
And stop drinking that water, obviously. So that's when I came out to New Mexico.
Okay.
And I had been traveling back and forth studying with my teacher, with Patricio Dominguez. And, you know, I just decided to move out here full time.
So it's interesting. I think it was 2005. You were still in New York, and you've kind of left this other thing. And you're, I feel like you're searching at this point in your life to something deeper meaning, right?
Right.
At what point? So let's stay with this. So you go out to New Mexico, Albuquerque, I believe, to interview Patricio, correct?
I did.
And he tells a little bit about him. What's his background, and what was your interest in him?
Well, I mean, in effect, in the dream time, my daughter had taken me to him, because I was going back and forth to this eco-village in the other reality, and I didn't know if I was in heaven, if I was dead. I didn't know where I was.
Wow.
This daughter, Ileana, she kept telling me things and showing me around, and it was so beautiful. I didn't want to go back to my body anymore. And I finally said, okay, look, you have to take me to the way that I can find my way here. Right? There has to be some type of thread in reality where I can get here in the real time. And she said, sure. Let me go get the shaman. And she brings in this Pueblo shaman. He's got his hair all pulled back in the typical Pueblo bun. And he starts talking to me, and they show me a painting, and they say, you need to paint this and take it to him, me, whatever. I woke up from that dream, and there was a book on my table that hadn't been there before. And I opened it up, and that was his picture. So then I had his name. I had a way to locate him. I mean, he's a Pueblo medicine man who's been an activist for his entire life. He's organized councils of indigenous elders from Central, South, and North America to fulfill the prophecy of Eagle and Condor. He's an amazing human being, really. Yeah.
At what point did you get exposed to ayahuasca and start taking the medicine?
I got exposed to it at Ghost Dance one year, or Spirit Dance, as we call it now. You know, some people had come up from South America and they brought medicine with them.
Was this recent though in New Mexico or before you went there?
It was in Crestone, and it was about 10 years ago.
Okay.
It wasn't the main medicine I worked with. Mainly we work with peyote and okay. Detour. So it was a new medicine for me and very, very different than peyote. You know, we call peyote grandfather and ayahuasca is grandmother.
What's the difference?
You know, classic, one is yang medicine. You know, like if you imagine going out with your grandfather, he'd probably take you out fishing. He might take you out in the car or something like that. Whereas, you know, your grandmother would want to talk with you and have a cup of tea and really, you know, get into your head. It's like that.
I know the ayahuasca is around 6 hours or so journey. How about the peyote medicine?
It's much longer. And typically in a teepee ceremony, we would ingest the medicine 3 or 4 times. So then it's an all-night event.
So you'll stay in the sweat lodge for the entire time for the peyote?
For the peyote, usually we sweat first to clean off, and then we get changed and we go into the teepee.
Okay, so you do a sweat lodge, then you go into the teepee, and does peyote you smoke? Do you smoke it?
No, you eat it. People do smoke it. But there's 3 ways we take it. You know, you take the fresh peyote and you take the dried peyote, you wrap it up into a little ball and pop it. And then there's tea.
And is it hallucinogenic?
You know, people say that it's psychedelic, but I don't experience it that way.
What do you experience? What do you feel? What's going on when you do the peyote versus the ayahuasca?
You really feel this interconnectedness to everything. You know, it's like a going out into the universe and into the stars, and you feel supremely connected to everything,
yeah.
Which of course is the perennial reality, right?
We are. Yeah. Are you familiar with a woman by the name of Jill Bolte Taylor?
No.
So Google her and watch her YouTube video. She was on Oprah's Soul series, I believe, but she was a neuroscientist at Harvard. And long story short, I'm not get into why and all this stuff, but she had a stroke and she wrote a book called Stroke of Genius. And when she was having the stroke, because she was a neuroscientist, she was really excited, right? she really wanted to study this. And so, but what's interesting is though, she had it in the left brain aneurysm, and the left brain is language and numbers and all that, right? And so when that left brain was dying, all that was left was the right brain. And she said that her body dissolved. She was in the shower at the time. Her body dissolved into the shower and she became one with everything. Okay. And which was awesome. Great. She never wanted to leave that moment. Right. Except when she got out of the shower, she didn't know how the hell she was going to get to work and how she was going to survive this. And then when she went to call work, she's going through business cards because she can't remember her number. So now she can't read the business cards. And then when she finally figures out how to call work, say she needs help, she can't talk. And so long story short, they figured this all out. But it took her like 2 or 3 years to learn how to walk and talk again. So it was a really severe thing. But the consciousness, the shift in consciousness, it's this left brain that keeps us anchored to this physical thing, right? And when we let go, and I think maybe that's what happens with the peyote medicine, it just shuts down the left and you're just pure consciousness. So folks, I'm so excited to have Courtney here for the next half hour. We're going to go to a quick break. And when we come back, I want to hear about what's going on in the Native Indian world and about her working with Patricio. And really, she wrote this powerful book, and it had a lot to do with the end of the Mayan calendar, which ended December 21st, 2012. And I want to get into that with her. So we'll be right back in just a couple minutes. Stay with us. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so excited to have Courtney Starhart Hale with us. And she's the author of the book, Urban Shaman. And you can get it at her website, and we'll give you that information in just a second. So, Courtney, in reading your book last night, I see that you traveled from the East Coast and you drove out to Albuquerque to interview Patricio with your young son with you. You walked in expecting probably a different reception, you said in your book, than you would get on the East Coast. That he was very accepting, but people might look at you differently back there. But anyway, so now you're out in, and you're half Native American Indian. And so here you are back in your, you know, your place of where your people, the American Indians, were most prevalent and powerful, and to interview Patricia. Why? And what was your takeaway of this?
Well, essentially, I went to interview Patricio to ask him what was going on with me, because I felt that something supernatural was happening. I had seen him in the dream time, and my unborn daughter, you know, gave me his name. Wow. And so I come out here, and I kind of pussyfoot around everything. You know, I asked him about the Maya calendar, about the Hopi prophecies, and I just got to know him. He put me to work on the kiva in his backyard that we now use for our ceremonies, and we built that together for 5 or 6 hours in the hot sun. He looked at me at a certain point and he goes, "You're a maniac, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "I love maniacs."
And yeah, so, you guys kind of went full circle that first day, didn't you? To yeah. Like, what the hell are you doing here? To, you know, how soon you leaving? To, hey, let's go work together.
Exactly. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I suspect that he probably thought, you know, who is this white girl from New York? I don't need this junk, you know?
Right.
He liked the baby, though. And he was really welcoming. But it took us some time to build trust and build confidence. By the end of the day, though, I confessed to him that I was having these really strange lucid dreams. And I said, you know, my daughter, not born yet, told me to come and see you. And she gave me your name. And she said that I could contact you about these strange dreams. And I said, "What do you think about that?" He goes, "Smart girl." I expected him to say, "You're crazy, woman." But it was great because he totally got it. You know?
You know, and I love it. I don't know how many people listening right now think that's crazy, but you know, there was a point in my life, and maybe yours as well, that you would have thought that was crazy talk. The more I do this work, the more I get inside, go inside instead of outside, the more I go internally into my life, my heart, my soul, the more that this makes so much more sense. And I realize how we all communicate non-verbally and how we're all connected. And here, I mean, what an amazing story, an unborn daughter guiding you, you know, before she's even in the womb. I mean, but you know, if it's all energy, vibration, and frequency, of course that happens. There is no time and space. That's the illusion. It's a great illusion, I will add. But in reality, we can access these special gifts that we're given. All of us are given. But we're so brainwashed to believe shit that's not true, that doesn't serve us. So tell me a little bit about the Hopi prophecies.
Well, essentially, there's a Hopi prophecy rock that, you know, if you look at it, it has lines on it, and at a certain point it splits and goes in different directions. And essentially what it's saying is that we have a decision to make as humanity right now. The Hopis aren't worried about themselves. They know they're going to survive. They've been there forever, you know, and they say, I think that there have been 5 worlds, or we're in the 5th world, and they have an oral tradition.
And what you mean by that, the destruction, it's the same world, but it keeps getting destroyed and rebuilt. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. And also there's something even a little bit stranger, which is that they say that they came from underground, that they were in another world that was the middle world underground, right? And that they came up through a tiny little hole and popped up into this world.
Yes.
So that may sound strange, but it is what it is.
Yeah, but it's sounding less and less strange to me as I research what's going on. And I research history because I do think there's been a number of cataclysmic events, where whether it's a flood or an earthquake, or where there's total devastation and almost wipes out all of humanity, and humanity has to rebuild. And I believe that could be happening right now. And if you look at the signs and you study ancient teachings, you could make a strong argument for this. So that's why I'm curious about, you know, you in your book, you talk a lot about the end of the Mayan calendar, which was December 21st, 2012. And I just want to ask you, because I'm reading it and I'm studying other stuff here, which I'm not comfortable going into right now, but I'd like to with you sometime. But is it possible that the calendar was right? But that started a 7-year tribulation period, which we've been going through for the past 7 years. And the real event happens this Christmas, 2019. Is that a possibility?
I want to say that anything is possible. And the more I look at this stuff, the more it seems possible and less strange. I think the official take on it, and of course I'm not Maya, the official take on it is that 2012 was the end of the long count. It didn't mean the end of the world. It just meant the end of a, I think like a 26,000 year cycle.
Right.
The way the calendar wheels fit together.
Exactly.
So there's supposed to be a brief period in between, like a pause as the gears like lock back into the new cycle. And also, like, as we're going back to the next Satya Yuga, the golden era, there is a period of, I think they say 100 or 150 years before that picks up. And there are a lot of bumps and bruises during this interim period.
And I think we're also, if you look at the 12 zodiac signs, I think we're like 130 years entering the age of Aquarius as well. So there's a lot going on. So tell me how you balance all of this out in the work that you're doing now. What's your passion right now, and what's driving you to serve others right now?
Well, what I believe is that there is a tipping point in consciousness. My elder Patricio studied with a Maharishi who apparently was obsessed with this tipping point concept, so that if enough of us gain a high enough consciousness, that it floats the boats of everybody, because we're all interconnected. Like you saw the interview with Roger Nelson, and we know that there's a noosphere. We know that there's an interconnectedness on a planetary level.
Elaborate just a little bit for our listeners that didn't see that.
Oh, well, the Princeton Global Consciousness Project is really remarkable. It's a group of engineers who got together and they opened a department or wrote some grants around anomalies in their mechanical equipment. So Roger went out and he had these little cards. They were card size and they were called field regs. And what they would do is they would do the equivalent of a coin toss like 100 times a second. And it should be 50-50, right? Mm. Statistically, but it's not. And when they started looking at it and they put these little monitors all over the planet, I think they called them... they were like encephalogyographs, I think they called them. And they put these all over Mother Earth and they were getting the readings. And they would find that actually before a major event that affected us all, there would be a spike in their data. And even though they can't quite explain it, I mean, there are a bunch of obvious theories. But Teilhard de Chardin proposed something called the noosphere, which is essentially like a higher consciousness for the planet.
Right. And I think you'll agree with me on this. And if enough of us like-minded people, and we're going to get to the tipping point or critical mass right now, but I really believe that if enough of us like-minded people could combine this thought energy along with the emotion of love in our heart and focus on global healing, you know, I mean, if all 7 billion of us did it, you know, the whole thing switches, right? Boom, we're back to the Garden of Eden. But you know, whatever that number is, whether it's a billion, 2 billion, 3 billion, but if enough of us could get there, or maybe even, you know, this has been done in little communities where they've, you know, they've monitored, the crime rate dips, you know, just by putting 7,000 people in a hotel place and focusing on this, they can decrease the crime and all that negative energy. And we know that after 9/11, you know, that there was like a global depression, you know, that people were just... thought-wise and energy-wise, it was just right there. I mean, it was measured everywhere. So how do you use this in your life, what we're talking about right now, to fulfill what you truly desire?
Well, most recently, we've been working with ayahuasca and with Combo. And we've got something of an urban hybrid, right? It's not the same as the ayahuasca in the jungle. We're using mimosa instead of chacruna. And so it's a little bit different because it's a different plant. Then we have Sweat Lodge, then we have Combo, then we have ayahuasca. And the idea is exactly what you said. That's why I so connected with your work. I'm like, wow, this guy knows exactly what he's talking about. If you go within and you can kind of look at your emotional terrain and you can understand the feelings. See, the medicine isn't going to heal anything, but it's like turning on a flashlight in the darkness. You know, there's this aversion to going within in our society. And oftentimes we have a lot of painful things that we don't want to look at. And people self-medicate with X, Y, and Z, right? You know the list. And so when we're able to go within and look at what's going on, we put a flashlight on it. We go, oh gosh, that's really not that bad. You know, that monster has been bumping into me in the darkness for a long time, and I've been, you know, drinking it to death. But really, it's not that scary when you look at it. And the medicine takes it and just turns it a few degrees so that you go, oh, if I see it as an opportunity to have more compassion, to hold more love for others, or to be of service, then even the most painful experience becomes a blessing.
It's just a minor shift, right?
It's only a tiny shift, yeah.
This is what I love about the movie Silver Linings Playbook. You know, and even, you know, your E. coli, out of that came a whole new life, a whole new destiny. Out of the loss of my wife came a whole new destiny, a whole new life. There's always a silver lining. If we will stay positive and stay present, we can find the silver lining and we can propel us in a whole nother, more powerful healing direction. Folks, I love having Courtney on as a guest. We're going to take a small break. We're going to come back in just 2 minutes. And I want to ask her about going within and healing and how the medicine, the ayahuasca, plays with that, and also the sweat lodge. And I also am just curious how she feels about cannabis, because it seems to be exploding everywhere. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Please stay with us. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and you're listening to the Mike Murphy Unfiltered Show, and I'm super happy to have Courtney Hale with us here today, an author, a shaman, and just a beautiful soul, beautiful woman, and she's a great painter, by the way, so I encourage you guys, if you need some art for your home, you're looking for some beautiful art that's going to have this spiritual energy and bring healing to your life, you can find her art at Courtney Hale, that's C-O-U-R-T-N-I, Hale, .com. You can see her art. And what's super cool is she's designed a product where she uses lights to light the art up in the back of the painting, because she paints on silk, and it just brings it so much to life. You know, I've bought a few pieces of art in my life, and they always take you to the back room and they hang it on the wall and they turn on these lights and it comes to life, right? It becomes amazing. The problem is, in our homes, we don't have this. So go to CourtneyHale.com, see the art, and then ask her how she can really light it up for you. And the other thing is, she has an amazing show. I was just on it the other day, called Finding the Force. And just go to findingtheforce.com and you can see her, all her interviews and episodes. And she's just one of these beautiful women with this beautiful heart and soul that wants to bring healing and health and love and compassion to others. And so God bless you for doing that, Courtney. Tell us what you're doing with the ayahuasca there in Albuquerque, and how people can join you.
Well, years ago now, people began coming to us, to me and Patricio, looking for support after their ayahuasca journeys. And they would be kind of fragmented and disjointed because they had had this amazing journey. They went out there or in here, and then they come home and their life is exactly the same. And I think that is kind of fracturing for people. So they would come to us and say, hey, what can we do? And we're like, well, you know, you need community. You need support. You need proper instruction about what this world is that you went to. And so we started, you know, sweating them and building community. And after a while, actually, we thought, well, why don't we just do the ayahuasca here ourselves? My elders spent time with some Colombian Taitas and then would bring them here. This was 20 years ago. And we thought, well, why don't we do the ayahuasca here? So instead of people having to go halfway around the world, pay, you know, tens of thousands of dollars sometimes, and then come back and be fractured, why not build community here?
Let me ask you a question. Historically, we know the medicine comes from the Amazon in South America. Do you know, or any speculation of when it started coming north in the American Indians or the North American Indians started partaking?
Admittedly, this is pure speculation, but I believe that there's sufficient evidence of the trade that came from South America. For example, at Chaco, we've found relics that are from South America, macaw feathers, sadly jaguar paws. We found walrus tusks from all the way up north. So mm-hmm. We know that there was trade, and through Cahokia, there were footpaths that connected all of North and South America. So if you think about a bunch of, you know, tribal medicine people getting together to have a dance, I'm pretty sure that they're eating peyote. I'm pretty sure Datura, because that's from here. But then you think about it, and these guys are walking from South America. and they're coming to share their culture and celebrate with other Native Americans, do you think they would have brought some ayahuasca? Yeah. I'm thinking they did.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier the eagle and the condor. Can you, in the prophecy with that, can you go a little deeper into that, elaborate for the audience?
Again, admittedly, I'm not an expert, but I believe that my elder is, and it may be interesting to interview him sometime. Hundreds and hundreds of years ago, these elders had a vision that we would reunite the eagle and condor, the eagle being the north and the condor being the south. And now we call it Eagle, Quetzal, Condor, because we're including Central America. But the idea was that at the end of this age, in 2012 or thereabouts, we would have to close the calendar for the old age and open the calendar for the new one. Mm. So that's why they got together.
Wow. And do, in talking to your elder and your teachers there and the Native American Indians, how do they see things in the world today? I mean, you mentioned, well, I want to share this. I actually printed, I was touched by this. I went and printed this. So in your book, you talk about how the Hopi Indians, and I think in the early 90s, were so concerned for humanity that they asked to go to the United Nations. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that one brings me to tears every time. Unbelievable. So there was a delegation, and I think it was three times that they knocked on the mica doors of the UN. And the last time, actually, there was torrential rain and flooding and all unexpected storms. You know, these were powerful, powerful people who went. One of my elders, Jose from up in Santa Clara, gave me the speech that he wrote and delivered to the UN. And it was beautiful, you know, because you know what? It was really simple. He just talked about the simplicity of living the right way, to be a father, to be a friend, to be a teacher, to be a good husband, to be a good person. There's no better life that we think you can live than just to be a kind and good person.
Yeah.
Also, you know, concern for the environment, you know, the Pueblos, because we had such limited resources, we're highly concerned with the use of those resources. So not overpopulating, you know, giving back to the earth and living in balance.
Yeah. And in reading your book, they thought the sign would be, or they still believe the sign will be, a white man for some reason, I don't know why, carrying a sign with a cross in a circle, right? Which is kind of what is the symbol for Christianity as well, but it actually comes from worshiping the sun and how the stars line up, and it appears to look like that. So the first time when the Spaniards showed up, they had a similar sign, and they were white, but it wasn't an exact sign, and it turns out they were bad guys and didn't do any good for anybody. But I think they're still waiting for this person. But I just want to read to you from your book, Urban Shaman, which I strongly recommend you can get this book on Courtney's website. But this was a speech that they gave to the United Nations. This was in the 90s. They said, hey, man, we got a problem here. And I got to imagine these people just got to be looking at us going, what is wrong with you people? I mean, they got to look at, like, you know, it's a Black Friday where everybody storms Walmart at midnight and wants to get all this shit out of it. I mean, they got to look at that and go, what is wrong with these people? You know, but anyway, so this is an American Indian, Native American Indian going to the United Nations. And here's some of the speech that was delivered. Nature itself does not speak with a voice that we can easily understand. Neither can the animals and the birds we are threatening with extinction talk to us. Who in this world can speak for nature and the spiritual energy that creates and flows through all life? In every continent are human beings who are like you, but who have not separated themselves from the land and from nature, and I will add myself, their soul. It is through their voice that nature can speak to us. You have heard these voices and many messages from the four corners of the world today. I have studied comparative religion, and I think in your own nations and cultures, you have knowledge of the consequences of living out of balance with nature and spirit. The native peoples of the world have seen and spoken to you about the destruction of their lives and homelands, the ruination of nature, and the desecration of their sacred sites. It is time the United Nations used its rules to investigate these occurrences and stop them now. And it's got to just baffle these people that go to this. I'll share this with you real quick. I'll never forget going into St. Peter's Basilica at the Vatican. I think it was like 2007 or 8. I said, whoa, what a scam. No wonder these people, they come, you know, from miles away. They hardly got any money, but they see this and they go, oh, there's got to be a God. So here, take my 10% or my 20%, have power over me. And it's all an illusion. These people must think the same thing. You know, they come out of the, you know, the plains of middle America and with their simple life, respecting the land, respecting the animals, respecting one another. And they go into this big city in New York in this big building and they're talking to all these people and it falls on deaf ears. It's just got to be devastating. There was a day I wouldn't have got any of this. And now today it just breaks my heart, you know, what we're doing to ourselves in the name of materialism.
I mean, my elder just wrote me a text the other day and it essentially said that we're living in a time, here we go. It says, and this is a quote from Patricio, today, every inhabitant of this planet must contemplate the day when this planet may no longer be habitable. Every man, woman, and child lives under an environmental sword of Damocles, hanging by the slenderest of threads, capable of being cut at any moment by accident, miscalculation, or madness.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I don't want to scare anybody out there, folks, but I mean, I spend 4 to 6 hours every day studying what's going on in the world and what we can expect in the future. And I do think we're coming on upon a reset. I think Mother Earth is vibrating at such a high frequency to wake us up, and our brain vibrates at the same frequency as Mother Earth, and that's why everything's speeding up, and that's why everything's out of control, and everybody's going somewhat crazy. You know, look at this country, the left, the right, the black, white, Christian, Muslim, the divide, gay, straight. What is going on? We're all one. We have one heartbeat, okay, called humanity. And here we are destroying and hating and making shit up. It's crazy. We got to find our way. But it starts with you and me and everybody listening to this show right now. We all have to chip in and do your part. So if you care about your children or your future children or your grandchildren, or if you believe in reincarnation and you're going to try to come back here someday, we all better get together like now. And we better quit this toxicity, the human toxicity, the mental, the emotional, physical. All this plastic, all this geoengineering, all this shit's got to stop. And so thank you so much for what you're doing in the world to play your part. So if somebody wanted to come there and sit with you and do the medicine and study with you, where would they go? How would they find you? And tell me what that looks like.
Well, it's really easy. You can go to, you know, findingtheforce.com, and there are links there to all of this. There's a meetup group here in Albuquerque called Finding the Force again. And essentially what it looks like is people come for a 3-day retreat. So instead of, you know, having to fly down to the Amazon and spend 10 days there, you come here. We start on Friday night with a sweat lodge, which is a beautiful experience. So we form a group mind, we sweat out a bunch of toxins, we get clear, we get into each other's heart space and form like a unity consciousness. And it's unbelievable, breathtaking to hear people's prayers. Then we do the combo medicine, frog medicine. People go back to their home or their hotel and spend the night. And we do a seminar on Saturday morning. I want to say, this is one of the best books I've ever read. I listen here to plug your book on your own show.
Thank you.
I use your training course for all of my ayahuasca clients. And I sit there with them like little children and I say, we're going to download this app now. Oh no, I'll do it when I get home. I say, no, this is too good to take a chance. You need it right now. And we're going to start writing down our intentions.
Yeah.
And then go into ayahuasca land in the evening. They already have it clear. And they start to feel their way through that. And then
When I come there in March, I'd like to maybe we start a couple hours early and we do a little workshop on how to properly write that intention. And I think if we could get those intentions written before ceremony, we could really anchor them. And of course, we'll have them download the app and they'll record them in the app and all that. But I think it would give the ceremony, you know, because whenever we sit, we always have like a one word intention. But I think if we wrote out an intention, you know, a 2 or 3 sentence intention and carried that with, and even carried the paper with us into the ceremony, I think we could create some even bigger and better miracles or quicker.
What I do is I go through body, mind, and spirit. with people, essentially, with the frog medicine. I ask them to do it 3 times. So the first round, we just talk about the physical. We talk about, you know, how we can give back to other people, how we can love people more, how we can be more abundant, you know, how we can be healthier. And then we keep on moving up the ladder, because your experience is only going to be as good as your physical body can allow.
Right.
We start there. But absolutely, you know, let's take that another step and do a couple hour seminar and bring people in and help them.
So after our last talk last week, I was telling my wife about the frog medicine. So she Googled all the things that go on when you're doing the frog medicine. So I may have to.
The stuff you see on YouTube.
I may have to do it first before she does it. But it looks like a rather intense experience. But like everything, you know, and I think you'll concur with this based on what I've seen in your life, is that great healing comes out of great suffering.
It's true.
I wish there was another way, but I don't think
there is. No get without give.
You know, no gain without pain, right? So I just find it, that's just the way it is. You know, we didn't create this thing. We're just here. And it's important that, one, I think the most important thing is, you know, I can't speak to you, but, you know, we need to be educated from the get-go, from birth. We need to be taught the right things. And what we're taught in this country is get, okay? When we should be taught give. And you know, in this country, you know, we're taught that all men are created equally. Well, that's not true, okay? I was born white in America in the 50s, okay? I had a head start above 99% of people in the world. But what I do believe, and what they should have wrote, and maybe what they meant, is that all people should be treated equally in spite of religion or color or what have you. And that's where we have to get to, ladies and gentlemen. And we have to, you know, we can't have trillionaires and millions of people or billions of people starving to death. This has got to shift. And I'm not a socialist, I'm not a communist, but I'm not a capitalist either. Okay, we need a new system. These systems aren't working, except they're working for the 0.1%. Okay. And the rest of us are getting screwed. And this is what we have to shift. And so this is why I'm so grateful for, one, your courage to get out of the East Coast, follow your heart and soul, go to New Mexico, get back to your roots, write a book. Now you're training people, you're teaching people, you're trying to create a better world. You're just a beautiful soul, heart woman, a mother of two, a great painter. Go to her website, you guys, and buy some art and go and see when the ceremony is. And go to New Mexico, go to Albuquerque. I've been there. It's beautiful. And go sit with these people and feel that energy. It's life transforming. So anything you want to add before we say goodbye?
I would really encourage people likewise to look at your work. I've read hundreds of books, literally trying to figure out how to manifest what I really wanted. And I think that yours is the very best. And I really appreciate the app, because it's a concrete thing that people can do right now.
You're too kind. And once again, folks, if you get the book at Amazon, it's 10 or 11 bucks. And if you want to buy the course, just put promo code RADIO, all capital RADIO. Instead of $397, you have a $197. The app is free. The book is cheap. But more importantly, I promise, if you just follow the simple little instructions, your life will get much better. I promise you. So Courtney, my dear, I hope to see you in March in Albuquerque. Thank you so much for taking the time. And ladies and gentlemen, we come back next hour. We're going to have Jerry Powell from Rhythmia here, another guy doing great, beautiful work in the world. And I just love and I'm so blessed to be able to do what I do. So and we'll see you in just a little bit after this break.